Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports to the Max is on the air on this hot, humid Monday night. Why was it hot? How was it humid? How do we get? I love hot and humid, except when I got to wear a suit. Then I like hot and humid. Like, they're practicing football today, everybody. And that's kind of fun because it's the start of football season. But it's hot and it's humid. And you get in shape in like 5 minutes, you know? So here we go. Morning. Ron Sherrill will be in studio with us. He didn't catch any fish this past week. I say that and I haven't even talked to him this past week. Mike Vec will be in studio with us. That'll be fun. They get the world's biggest food fight coming up tomorrow night at St. Paul Saints. But our leadoff, the story of the day, as you know by now, Lindsay Whalen announcing her retirement at season's end from the Lynx. And, of course, she's continuing as the head coach at the University of Minnesota, and she joins us now. Lindsay, it's not very often you get a chance to reflect on your career in particular because you're always looking forward to the next. But today you were able to take a few minutes and reflect on what has been as a player. And, I mean, I don't even know how you put it into words. It's been such a fairy tale. What was it like last night when you knew you'd come to this decision and we're going to make it today, and you're sitting around with your family, with Neil and Kathy, and you're talking about what has been? What that had to be a special hour or so as you guys just visited on how far you've come in this game.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
First and foremost, I really appreciate it. But, no, yeah, it was. Last night I had some family in town from Phoenix, and so we all got to kind of reminisce a little bit. And then at a certain point it was just me and my parents kind of talking, and it was just a really fun time to reflect on kind of all the, more or less, just all the times and all the moments that we've had together, and just the, you know, the travels and just different AAU trips, and then you get talking about overseas, and those are the moments that are the special ones, and the times that, there's so many, stats and championship years and all that. But it comes down to just really, I don't know, who you get to spend it with and who you get to enjoy that time with. And so last night it was, it just worked out really well that we had a game last night, and then my parents were able to stay over, and then, some of my really close relatives were in town for the game. So it ended up working out really well. We ordered some pizzas and just kind of sat around the table and talked. And then, after my relatives, they had to go to the hotel. So then it ended up just being me and my parents, and we're just kind of sitting around talking. It's been quite the run. So we're very, very lucky and very fortunate.
You know, you went to the University of Minnesota, you were doing well, and then Brenda Freese showed up, and she kind of turned loose the offense, and you guys changed the way you played. What do you remember about that period of time? And then, of course, Pam Borton came, and you went to the Final Four, but it kind of all took off for Gopher basketball at the same time. Do you remember a period of time when you said, whoa, we've got something really special here?
Well, I think probably the biggest moment was that first game when the floor was flooded at the Pavilion, and our first game was over at Williams. And so we had played at the Pavilion. We had a couple, like, decent-sized crowds, but nothing to what we were about to, you know, witness the next home game. So I think we were probably 11-2 or 12-2, so a really good start for us after the year before when it was, it was pretty bad. I think we were 1-15 in the Big Ten that season. So we'd had plenty of adversity that season before, and then to have the kind of success we were having, we were already riding pretty high. And then so we ended up going over to Williams, and I think it was my hometown day, so you know, they tried to, you know, bring in busloads of people.
Sure.
And whatnot, and it ended up being, I think, 11,000 people at Williams that first game. And so the biggest crowd we'd ever played in front of would have been probably 1,500 or 2,000 at the Pavilion.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, we're in packed Williams Arena, which is a dream come true for me, a Minnesota kid growing up, saying, you get, yeah, everybody wants to play at Williams Arena, you know? And mm-hmm. So then to actually get to go over there and play and then to have it filled, I mean, it was just surreal. And like, we still, that's one of the first things when we get together, we talk about is that game. They had to put 20 more minutes on the clock to let the fans come in because there was so many people. I don't think they were ready for the amount of people that were going to come to this game. And we ended up beating Indiana that night in front of 11,000 fans. And it was just, after that, it kind of just took off. This whole thing, honestly, has just kind of taken on a life of its own since then. And in that particular time, with me at the, with all of us at the university, it was just like something that we just, there was something about that team and something about the way that we played that, you know, people just started really coming out and really supporting us. It was really a magical time for sure.
When did you know that this would be the final season, and did it change or did it exacerbate at all when you took the job as the Gopher coach?
I knew before the season. I had felt, you know, some kind of thoughts of maybe retiring after last season. And I had a long talk with coach before the season, and I was kind of feeling a little bit just like, it's kind of like struggling through the workouts. I was, you know, going and playing and pick up games that didn't have the same probably flair for the game or fire for the game that I once had. And that was always my favorite part about playing, was just going and playing pickup with a group and just like see who could stay on the court the longest.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that kind of left that desire for that, I was kind of just a little concerned. And so I talked to coach, and she had just said, hey, you know, look, once you get back with Brunson, Maya, Simone, we get into training camp, it's all going to change. And you'll see this, you know, it's not going to be the same as playing pickup, you know. And
yep.
So I'm glad I listened to her. I'm glad I, you know, took that advice and came back. I definitely don't have any regrets. And after me and Cheryl had that conversation, about 3 weeks later was when the U of M coaching job happened. And so then I went from considering not playing to now I had two jobs. And so it definitely gave me a good burst of energy for a while. But then there was probably just after training camp, probably in that first, I would probably say 2 to 3 weeks of the season, I kind of knew that this was it. I was kind of on my last year and, you know, on my last legs of playing, so to speak, just because of the way I was feeling and the way I, you know, you can see too, the speed of the game has gotten so great, which is awesome. It's the evolution of the game, which is, I'm just so thankful to have been a part of it this last 15 years. But, you know, players are starting to get bigger, faster, stronger, and it's what it is, and good for them. But I could kind of feel that my playing time was probably going to finish after the season. And I was just kind of trying to figure out when to announce it and whatnot. I didn't want it to be too much of a distraction or anything like that. But after talking with coach a little bit in the last road trip, we felt like, you know, saying something before the end of the regular season with a couple home games to go was would be the right thing to do.
Cheryl Reeve, you mentioned her. You came to Minnesota, and I remember, you know, you forget these things, but it was kind of high risk when you came here. There was no guarantee this thing was going to get turned. There were some signs that there were some players and some foundation pieces. Did you really welcome that trade? Did you feel the pressure? And how did you and Cheryl Reeve work together to kind of create this partnership?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that at that point, I mean, they were giving up a number one overall draft pick, and it turns out to be Tia Charles, which is, you know, she's a future Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, it was more of a risk on their end. I mean, I loved my time in Connecticut, but I knew that, you know, something kind of had to change for me in my career. And so I was ready for the next thing. And so I wanted to come home. I mean, it's my home, you know, to get to play in college and get to come back here would be something that's just, that would be amazing as an athlete. And so, I mean, they took a bit of a risk, but it ended up really working out because that year Simone came back. We got Brunson from Sacramento. It was coach's first year. We just built it together. A lot of it just on toughness and not giving up. And then we were, that 2010 year, we were just bad enough to get Maya, who's a, you know, once in a generation player. And so, once we got her, then it was just like everything clicked in 2011. And after that, it was just all about then getting to the finals and winning championships and extending this dynasty that we have as long as possible. And, and I hope even beyond this year, I hope it continues. They have a group to do it. They have a younger core to do it. So I hope that it continues on. And I feel like for me, we've squeezed everything possible out of it. And it's been great. And we still have 3 games and a playoff push to make here. And we'll just, we'll put it all out there and see where the chips fall.
last year's championship, I mean, to be able again, like I said, as you write your fairy tale book, it doesn't make sense because it all fell into place, so to speak. But to end up at Williams Arena of all places to play that game and a deciding game, does that rank at the top of the list?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and just the way that the year unfolded, as far as losing in 2016 and the way we did on a buzzer beater in like dramatic fashion, to lose that year and then still have the resolve to come back for 2017 and to win it, that's probably my all-time favorite moment as a Lynx, because just the courage and just the we stuck together. We didn't let anything stop us, honestly, that year. And it was just something like I've never been a part of before, just that we had. And so, and then for me, selfishly to do it at Williams, I had known too. I mean, I figured if we put 14,000 people in there, we were going to win. Mm-hmm. Just with the way that arena is, when you feel it, there's no other place like it. And so it's such a home court advantage. It's worth, who knows, 5 to 10 points, just the way it is. And so, once they said that Excel wasn't going to be available for playoffs, I said, and Cheryl gave us the option, or she kind of came to us and said, hey, this is what we're thinking. I said, hey, look, put all the playoff games at Williams. I said, as long as we get the number one seed and we have home court advantage there, I was just like, I like our chances. I like our chances to win a championship there. It ended up coming true, which was pretty remarkable.
You've also played for a lot of storied coaches, you know, the Olympics as well with Gino and et cetera. What have you learned from them all, that, and how do you think players want to be treated as your coach, knowing what you know about great coaches?
Well, I mean, I think that, the coaches, the best, you know, the coaches that I've had, I've been so fortunate because I played for Mike Tebow. He's the all-time winningest WNBA coach. Cheryl Reeve, who probably has the most championships as a coach. She's got 6 now, 2 as an assistant, 4 as a head coach. And I'm guessing she has the highest win percentage. And then Gino. So, I mean, yeah, I've learned from the best. So I'm so lucky and fortunate to take all those lessons into my coaching career. And I think the biggest thing from them, that all takeaways from them, are they're organized, they're focused, they're super competitive, and they listen to their players, and they coach the style of system that really fits their players. And so, you know, if you know, in 2011, 2012, pretty much our offense was all pick and roll, and it was all, you know, derived on that. And then once we got Sill, we've had to change, because she's such a strength, to go to more of a low post offense. And to me, that's one of coach's greatest credits, is that she is able to change depending on her personnel and what her strengths of her team is. And so, to me, that's one thing I want to be too, is not just, well, this is what we're going to do, this is going to be our system. It's whatever's going to fit the players and whatever they're comfortable with running, that's what we're going to do. And then it's your job to keep them organized and keep them focused and inspired. But I think that all my coaches, that's been the coolest thing I've probably learned, is that they're all just, they're all players' coaches, and they all, know that their system can change depending on the personnel.
Well, congratulations on a wonderful day and a wonderful reflection. And we know we're going to keep running into you, but at least Neil gets to play golf in the summertime now. He's not encumbered by going to all those games anymore.
I know he's going to be happy. He needs to get out there a little more.
Ben will have to teach him now.
Yeah. He's always walking the dog. He's like, I'm like, you got to get out to the course so often. But yeah, no, Ben's gonna get him out there. And Ben and Dave, Ben's dad, they'll get him out there and make sure that they hit the links a little bit.
Perfect. Lindsay, thank you so much, and congratulations.
Thank you, friend.
You bet. Lindsay Whalen, retiring from the WNBA today. You can't even, I got the thing in front of me. You can't even read it all. You don't even have time. She's done so much. Wow. 649 is the time shop, a curated collection of rare and exceptional gemstones from around the world at Wixson Jewelers in Bloomington.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.